So this morning I have a prop for my sermon, and the prop is a leek. This is a leek. It's in a vegetable you can buy at the grocery store. Maybe you've bought one before. It's kind of like an onion. In fact, it kind of smells like an onion. I can smell it right now. You can use it in a variety of ways. You can use it in soups and salads. You can use it in breakfast casseroles. You can use it as flavoring for meats. Maybe you have a good leek recipe. Feel free to share it on the live stream comments if you have a recipe to share. I'm sure we'd like to hear that. But the reason why I have this leek is because this is one of the vegetables that the people of Israel got to eat of when they were slaves in Egypt. And after they were delivered out of being slaves, they were in the wilderness, and they were wandering around the wilderness, and they were hot, and they were tired, and they were hungry, and all they had to eat was manna, and they were getting bored of manna. And so their minds drifted back to Egypt, and they remembered all of the vegetables that they could eat in Egypt, and they remembered leeks. In fact, it says in Numbers chapter 11, verse 5, the people said, "We remember the fish that we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, onions, and garlic." Now, I think the key word in this verse is the word remember, because there were certain things that they were not remembering. They had selective memory. They were remembering the vegetables and the leeks, but what they were forgetting is that when they were in Egypt, they were slaves. They were being pressed into hard labor. That some of their babies had been killed because of the Egyptians. They were crying out to God out of their oppression. The Lord had heard their cry. He had come. He had brought them out by showing his great power with the 10 plagues, and he had set them free. They had forgotten about all of that. They were now in the wilderness, and all they could think about were leeks. We want leeks. We want to go back and get our leeks. And there's a caution in that story. The caution is that sometimes we can forget what God has done for us and instead simply grumble about what we don't have. And that's precisely why Psalm 103 was written. It was written to help us not forget what God has done for us. Psalm 103 is a hymn of thanksgiving. We don't know exactly who the author was. We think it might have been David. But whoever was the writer of Psalm 103, he was someone who had been sick. He was someone who had been really bad sick to the point of death. And yet the Lord had brought him through. My daughter Bethany made an astute observation that maybe Psalm 103 is the sequel to Psalm 38. So last week, we talked about Psalm 38, which tells a story about someone who was really bad sick. Remember the list of symptoms that we read in Psalm 38? And he was at the point of death, and he realized it was because of his own sin. Well, maybe Psalm 103 tells the rest of the story. Because when we get to Psalm 103, we find out that the Lord has brought the writer through, that he's been healed, and he's ready to tell the Lord, "Thank you." A couple weeks ago in this series, I talked about the prayer of lament and how there are times in our life where we come to God out of complaint or out of protest, and we bring our questions to God, and we're very bold and honest with God. Lament is the prayer for when we're in the valley, when we're struggling. Well, sometimes the Lord brings us through that valley, and he helps us through that struggle. And the same faith that is willing to protest towards God should be the same faith that says thank you to God. The same authentic faith that is willing to come to God and offer our questions to him should be the same authentic faith that is willing to come and offer our gratitude to God. That's what Thanksgiving is all about. Thanksgiving is not about forgetting what we've been through. It's not memory erasure. It's not where we act like the struggle or the valley or the challenge that we've been through, that it didn't exist. That's not what Thanksgiving is. Thanksgiving is acknowledging I was in a tough place. I was in a place of difficulty. I was in a valley, and yet the Lord helped me. And sometimes the Lord helps by changing our circumstances and making them beneficial to us. Sometimes the Lord helps us not by changing our circumstances, but just simply sustaining us in the middle of these difficult circumstances. But either way, thanksgiving is acknowledging that the Lord has helped me. I was in this valley and the Lord has helped me. And so I'm going to take some time and I'm going to say thank you, Lord. I'm going to say thank you for what you've done. Thanksgiving gives us confidence. It gives us confidence because when I am able to say thank you to God for what He has done in my past, it prepares me for the future. Because whatever's going to happen in the future, whatever storm or valley or issue that I have to deal with in the future, I know the Lord's going to be with me because He was with me in my past. And I've thanked Him for that. And so I know He'll be with me in the future. And that's what Psalm 103 is about. Psalm 103 is about someone who wanted to acknowledge that he was in a tough place. And he wants to say thank you to the Lord. He wants to have confidence for the future by remembering what God has done. He starts off the psalm with the phrase, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." It's a phrase of self-exhortation. He's actually talking to himself. Have you ever talked to yourself before? Well, if you have, you have something in common with the psalmist here. Because he's talking to himself and he's telling himself, I need to give praise to God. I need all of myself, my bones and my flesh, my mind and my heart, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, all of me needs to praise God. And here's the reason why I need to praise God, so that I don't forget His benefits. And that's what we want to do this morning. We want to praise and give thanks to God so that we don't forget His benefits. Let's pause right now and let's hear the first part of Psalm 103 read, and then let's sing a song that's inspired by the words of Psalm 103.
Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities.
The real meat of Psalm 103 is where the writer is describing the different benefits that the Lord has given to him. He does it in a couple of different ways. The first way is that he gives us a list of different attributes of God, different ways that God has shown Himself. You can tell this list of attributes because each phrase begins with who. He says, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things. And if you look at this list of attributes, there's kind of a trajectory of this list. And so again, imagine the writer from Psalm 38 who was really bad sick, close to death, believing that it was because of his sin. Well, notice what's happened now. His sins have been forgiven. Best thing. But if that wasn't good enough, God's also healed his disease. On top of that, he's redeemed him from the pit. No longer is he worried about dying, but the Lord has taken care of him. And if that wasn't good enough, he's treated him like a prince. He's crowned him with love and compassion. He's satisfied him with many good things. that the writer at this point, he's overwhelmed with God's goodness. You have been good to me, God. That's what he's saying. And because you have been so good to me, I want to say thank you. But it wasn't just the writer who believed that he should say thank you. He believed that the whole nation of Israel should be saying thank you to God. Because in verses 6 through 8, there's a story. It's underneath the surface of these three verses, but there's a story here. And the story is that of the Exodus, that God had brought Israel out of slavery. He had brought justice for the oppressed. And then he had brought them to Sinai, Mount Sinai, and there had revealed his ways to the people by giving them the Ten Commandments. And then also at Sinai, he had revealed his nature to Moses. That popular text in Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 through 8, where God for the very first time reveals himself to Moses. The psalmist quotes that here in Psalm 103, that the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. And I love this line because in it he uses my favorite Hebrew word and maybe your favorite Hebrew word. It's the word chesed. Say that at home with me. Chesed. It's a good word to say. It means covenant love. It means love that never gives up. Love that is always faithful. Love that never relents. Love that is steadfast. And the writer is saying, we should praise you as a nation. We should praise you because you have shown your chesed to us by bringing us out of slavery. And then to drive home his point of how good God's love is, he gives us a list of metaphors. And this is the part of the poem where the poetic language starts to really touch our hearts. Because the writer says, I want you to think of a height. Think of a height that is higher than the Empire State Building, a height that is higher than Sears Tower in Chicago, a height that is higher than the cruising altitude of an airplane, a height that is higher than the highest clouds in our atmosphere. That height does not compare to how great is the love that God has for his people. Then he says, I want you to think of a distance. Think of a distance that is bigger than the distance to New Mexico or to Tennessee. A distance that's longer than the distance to California or New York. A distance that's longer than the distance to Japan or Siberia. Think of a distance. That distance is not as long as the distance that God has taken your sin and has removed it from you. Then he says, think of a parent. Think of how a parent feels about a child. I know if you were to cut my heart open, there'd be three kids inside of there. There's something about how a father and a mother look at their children, and there are feelings of affection and love and compassion that are so deep, that are felt within there. And the writer says, but that love, that bond of affection and compassion, it doesn't even compare to how God feels when he looks at you. And then lastly, he says, I want you to think of a human's life. Human's life is a very temporary state. We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. We're like the grass of the field. We spring up for a moment and then we fade away. Just a very short time that we're here on earth. We're like a mist. And then he says, but from everlasting to everlasting is our God. His love, it never fails. It never ends. It never fades away. It is always steadfast. It's always there. And the point of these poetic metaphors is so that we can taste and see that the Lord, he's good. So that we can let his chesed kind of fall over us just like we were standing under a waterfall. To where we can feel his love for us. to where after that experience, our response would be, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's hear the rest of Psalm 103 read to us, and then we're going to be led in prayer, a prayer of thanksgiving, and we'll sing another song together.
For as high as the mountains are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. With those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you acknowledging that you are the one and true God. Father, we know that you have all power, that you can do anything and everything. And Father, we come to you in our weakness and our emptiness and our vulnerable state, realizing, Father, that everything we have is from you. Father, we feel your love, but we don't understand your love. But thank you for your love. Father, you have given us so much. You have given us our very lives themselves. Father, everything we have, even the opportunity to pray to you, Father, is a great gift from you. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be part of life, for allowing us to be part of each other as Christians, as brothers and sisters. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be together, to show our love to each other, to have relationship, to have a bond that is similar to what you have to us. Father, we thank you for your creation that you allow us to be a part of, for allowing us to see and participate in your plan and your will on this earth. Father, thank you for the talents, the abilities that you have given your servants, and for the opportunities to use these to bless lives. Father, we thank you for your power. The power that holds back evil that would surely overwhelm us if you did not hold it back. Father, we thank you for your compassion and love, for your patience with us, for forgiving us, Father, for we fail so often. Father, we thank you for allowing us to know you, allowing us to have the knowledge of knowing how great you really are. Father, we just don't really have the words to say. Nothing we can say except thank you, Father. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
As I mentioned, we need Psalm 103. Because if we're not careful, we can become like Israel, and we can forget the Lord's benefits and what he's done in our life. And we can start wishing for the leaks. We can start thinking back, I wish that it was February. I wish that everything was back to normal. I wish that businesses and schools were all normal, that nothing had been canceled. I wish that we didn't have to wear masks. I wish we didn't have to do all those things. I wish we could have leaks again. And we can think back to that time, just the way that Israel thought back to Egypt. And yet, if we were to think like that, we might be missing a few things. We might be missing some of the unexpected blessings and the unexpected ways that the Lord has shown to us over the past 2 to 3 months, his chesed. This past week, we put a notice out on Southside Shares asking people just to share, what are different ways that God has unexpectedly blessed you over this past 3 months as we've dealt with this pandemic? And several people made some comments, and I kind of made my own little list of things that I am thankful for from the past 3 months. See if you agree with some of these. I'm thankful that many families over the past 2.5 months have been able to spend a lot of time with their kids. I know Linda McNair mentioned this on our Southside Shares. It could be that kids look back to this season in their life and will always have some fond memories, at least some of them will have some fond memories, that was the time when I got to be around mom and dad a whole lot. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that we've been forced to slow down, that a lot of our extracurricular activities have been removed to where we could just spend some time with family, that we could focus on our walk with the Lord, that we could deal with certain issues in our life. I know some of you have done that. I know some of you have been able to focus on your walk with the Lord. Gina Marriott mentioned that in a Facebook post. I'm thankful for all of that. I'm thankful that we've been forced to live out what we always say we believe, and that is that the church is not the building. That we're the church. That we're the body of Christ. And sometimes we can get too reliant on this building. It's a wonderful resource. It's a wonderful thing that we have, and we want to use it to serve the Lord and to worship him. But what's happened is our homes have become our church buildings. Those are the places where we're worshiping God, and that's where we're engaging in ministry. And I'm thankful for that. Yes, I look forward to the day when we can come back and we can be in this building like normal. But I'm thankful that we've been forced to wrestle with that the church is not the building, but we are the church. I'm thankful, too, that we've learned to treasure relationships a little bit more. Someone commented to me this past week how they have appreciated going beneath the surface with people, that too often his relationships were superficial, but he's been able to deepen his relationships with one another. We've been reminded that social media, no matter how good it is, it doesn't quite substitute for face-to-face fellowship. We've realized that, and we're thankful. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that we've been able to get to know our neighbors. People have told me that they have lived where they've lived for years and have never gotten to know their neighbors until the past couple of months. They've been able to get to know neighbors and become friends and have a good influence on them. I'm thankful for change. Crisis accelerates change. And there are some of us who needed just a little nudge, maybe to get out of our job and start a new career, or we needed a little nudge to start a new hobby that we were interested in, or we needed a little nudge to reach out to someone and check on them. And this crisis gave you that nudge. And I'm thankful for that. And yes, I wish this pandemic never happened. And yes, we grieve those that have died and we pray for those that are sick. And even despite all of the good things that we've experienced, we wish all those could go away if it meant that people would not get sick or die. And yet, as we look back over the past couple of months, we see that the Lord has demonstrated again and again His faithful love to all of us, that He's sustained us through this difficult time. And instead of constantly wishing, oh, I wish that we could have this, or I wish that we could go back to that, I think the psalmist say, really? Do you really want to go back to February? Do you really want to go back to that way of life that was so stressful and that was stressing everybody out? Do you really want to go back to that? Or instead, should we have the perspective that says, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for what the Lord has taught me. I'm thankful for what the Lord has done in me. I'm thankful for how I've grown during this time. I'm thankful to the Lord. Whenever we lose sight of Thanksgiving, what happens to our heart is like Israel. We start grumbling and we start complaining. And we start turning inward and becoming more selfish. And the antidote, and let me just offer this one little point, that Satan wants to use this pandemic or any other factor that's happening in our country, he wants to use all of those things to divide us and to make us angry and to make us grumblers and all those sorts of things. And the antidote to that is Psalm 103. It's learning the ability to be thankful. Learning the ability to say, God has been good to me, and I'm not going to forget the benefits that He has provided for me. Instead, I'm going to offer thanksgiving to Him. And that's what Psalm 103 gives us the language to do. It heals our hearts as we are reminded that God has given us such great benefits, and He's given us His chesed, His covenant love, and we are thankful for that. Zach Williams was an emerging rock star, but his life was not going very well. Every road that he went down, it seemed, was a dead end. His career wasn't taking off like he had hoped. His marriage wasn't going well. And so he finally just hit rock bottom, got on his knees, cried out to God, asked God for help. He was in the valley, and so he was crying out to God, God, please come and help me. Please come and heal me. Please come and make things right. Give me a sense of purpose and meaning in my life. And the Lord did. The Lord healed his marriage. The Lord gave him a new purpose, gave him a new vision for his career. And so he decided to write a song to thank the Lord for that. Here's the words of that song. There I was, empty-handed, crying out from the pit of my despair. And there you were in the shadows, holding out your hand. You met me there. Now, where would I be without you? Where would I be, Jesus? You were the voice in the desert. Call me out in the dead of night, fighting my battles for me. You are my rescue story. Lifting me up from the ashes, carrying my soul from death to life, bringing me from glory to glory. You are my rescue story. That's what Psalm 103 is about. It's about a writer saying, Lord, you're my rescue story. I was in the valley. You've brought me out. You've shown me your covenant love. I don't want to forget that because you're my rescue story. As I mentioned at the beginning of this service, this is my last sermon in this series on the book of Psalms. And I began this series by kind of sharing that sometimes we don't know exactly what to say when we want to speak to God. Maybe we have a lot of different emotions going on in our hearts, and sometimes we don't even know what emotions we have, and it can be hard to name those and articulate those, and the Psalms help us, because whatever emotion we might be feeling, we can go to the Psalms, and the Psalms can be our words. They can be our healing words. Well, Patrick Miller, who is an Old Testament scholar, he was in one of his books that he wrote about the Psalms, he tells a story about when he was a kid that his mom was reading Psalm 103 to him. And when she got to the part in Psalm 103 where it says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, that when she started to read those words, she started to cry. And it actually surprised her when the tears started coming out, because she wasn't expecting to cry. It just kind of all hit her at once. You know, sometimes emotions do that. It just kind of hit her at once, and she just kind of blurted out, I don't even know why I'm crying. And Patrick Miller would write years later about that episode, and he would say that the reason why he believes his mother started crying when she read those words is because her whole life had been built on living based on the truth that God loved her deeply. And when she read those words articulated the emotions in her heart. And that's why she cried. And over this past month, we've been in different psalms. Sometimes the psalms have been words of praise. Sometimes they've been words of protest and complaint. Sometimes they've been words of trust and protection. Sometimes they've been words of questions. Sometimes, like today, they've been words of thanksgiving. But as we read those words, have you noticed that sometimes the words we read in the psalms, they articulate the emotions of our heart, and they connect to us, and they heal us. And this morning, we've been reminded about all the good things that God has done for us. And maybe you needed that reminder because your heart has been turned away to God. Maybe your heart has been full of grumbling and complaining. Your heart has been forgetting all the good things that God has done. And maybe today is a day of repentance for you. We want to help you to turn your heart towards God so that you can connect with Him and know of Him and find healing from Him. And if we can help you do that, please go to our website, sscfc.org/prayer. You can leave a prayer request for us to pray for you about. We can contact you this week. Or if you're interested in being baptized into Christ, we would love to welcome you into God's family. And so if we can help you, just go there right now, and we will be in touch with you this week. Let's sing a song together as we close.